Hello and welcome to another edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. Well, it's Thanksgiving time once again, and I don't have a better Thanksgiving story than the one I told a couple of years ago about the differences between my family's Anglo-American Thanksgivings and an Italian family Thanksgiving as I first experienced it back in the mid-1960s. It also serves as a reminder of why these gatherings are so important. When I enjoyed a Thanksgiving in New York in 2004, I had no reason to suspect it would be the last one I would ever spend with my dad. Never underestimate the importance of these gatherings. And so now, a Thanksgiving Flotsam Revisited.
Frosty morning sunrise, leaves are gonna fall. Holidays are coming, this turkey's feeling small. My mother told the story of how Grandma was whacked. She crept into the kitchen and saw her on a rack. Feathers plucked off full of stuff, she was lying in the buff. Worst of all, no head was looking back. Why can't everyone have ham for the holidays? Why can't everyone have pork with their pies? Guess I'll never know. Guess I'll never grow. Guess I should learn how to fly. I wake up to the laughter from the old pig pen. He knows it's me they're after. He's teasing me again. Isn't pork the other white meat I recall? Now the pig is silent in his stall. For some, their savior in religion. In India, the cow is a sacred beast. My faith is low, I'm feeling fat. Look silly in this pilgrim hat. No Hindu's gonna save me from this beast. Why can't everyone have ham for the holidays? Just like in the movies, I've been getting overfed for days. I'm plucking out my feathers in a frenzy. Why is it Jews don't eat pork anyway? Last night the barn fell silent. I've wondered what was wrong. So like my mom before me, I'll sneak into their home. Feathers shaken, chances taken. Why do I think I smell bacon? Oh my God, the pig is in the stove. I guess some people do have ham for the holidays. I guess some people do have pork. Much I know, I guess this year I'll grow. Next
I was growing up, Thanksgiving dinners were always fairly simple affairs. The day would begin with watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on television in the living room. I don't know why we did it. It's really fairly boring. But there's something about giant helium-filled balloons shaped like cartoon characters being held to the ground by 50 men in elf costumes being towed through New York's metropolitan canyons that is very exciting. It was also fun to watch marchers in skimpy costumes freeze their ass off as they twirled and danced in the often rain-slick, cold November streets. I even marched in it once, in a big police athletic league band playing the drums. I still watch it now, and I still don't know why. All the while we were watching the parade, the house would be filled with the most incredible smells from the cooking that had actually began the night before with pies, and that had restarted early in the morning with the turkey. By about 2 p.m., an orgy of incredibly delicious but very basic food would begin. There would be all the basics: mashed potatoes, string beans, carrot slices cooked until they were soft and slathered in butter, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, the kind that comes in a can that you can then slice into half-inch thick discs, Brussels sprouts, also drenched in butter, biscuits, and of course, an incredible turkey, slow-cooked to perfection, spiced with thyme and oregano, and stuffed with my grandmother's very German stuffing recipe, whose main ingredients were bread and diced celery. It was one of these Thanksgiving dinners that I invented my very own special way to eat cranberry sauce. I loved to place a slice or two of cold cranberry sauce on top of a sizable pile of steaming hot mashed potatoes and eat them together quickly before they had a chance to change each other's temperature. Of course, this was all followed with pumpkin pie, the very first of the season, piled high with real whipped cream. Dinner was followed by a lazy, sleepy afternoon and evening in the living room in front of the modern-day hearth, the TV, sometimes watching ball games, but more likely watching Miracle on 34th Street, the one with Edmund Gwynn. My Thanksgivings followed this wonderful, predictable, and thoroughly sane routine from my birth all the way until I married an Italian. I should tell you that I have a special and original description of Italians, caused entirely by my experience with them. It's amazing to me, but in 28 shows, I don't think I've shared it before. It's not meant to be positive or negative. This is it. Italians are unencumbered by reality. I really think that nails the essence of Italianness. Unencumbered by reality. Simple reality cannot affect them. They are, however they decide they should be, regardless of anything surrounding them. Many of my regular listeners know the story of how I met my wife and won her over. But I don't think I ever described my first attempt to visit her home as a suitor. I rolled up on my Raleigh 10-speed bike at her side door and paused like any nervous young man might and listened to screaming voices coming out the windows. I couldn't make out what it was about, but clearly everyone was shouting. I could hear my future wife's voice, I could hear her father, and her mother, and her sisters, and clearly it didn't seem like it was a good time to knock on that door. So I got back on my bike and pedaled the 5 miles back to my home. Little did I know that what I heard that day was simply the sounds of dinner, and that my knock would have completely changed the complexion of it. I would have been welcomed warmly and forced to eat whether or not I was hungry. But back to Thanksgiving. I soon discovered that an Italian Thanksgiving was nothing like any Thanksgiving I had ever known. I attended an Italian Thanksgiving dinner first as a boyfriend. Roz and I were already thinking about marriage, however, parents on both sides were wisely thinking that we were simply crazy. Little did I know that her family's Thanksgiving traditions were way more deeply ingrained, and not only foods and general activities would repeat themselves every year, but often entire conversations would be repeated verbatim. The first shock to my Anglo system was the dinner itself. First, a huge platter was placed on the table. It contained an enormous assortment of things I didn't associate with Thanksgiving, all sorts of raw vegetables, including some I didn't even recognize, and all sorts of meats, some of which I also didn't recognize, all of which were sliced like cold cuts, rolled up into little tubes. Each of us had a little plate in front of us with a puddle of oil in it. I had no idea what I was looking at, but soon, from quiet observation, I learned that I was looking at something called antipasto, and that my job was to take a little bit of each item, rub it in the oil, and then eat it. It was delicious. It was the most alien Thanksgiving I had ever had, but I really enjoyed it. I stuffed myself with this delicious food. Soon, the table was cleared, and I was expecting dessert. But instead, we all got bowls of soup. That seemed odd. Soup after dinner? Oh well, I slurped my soup and enjoyed it. Odd, but this was an Italian Thanksgiving, so I went along with it. After we were finally done, I was wondering if there was any way I could actually fit dessert in. Roz's mom appeared in the doorway again, but this time with an enormous bowl filled with pasta, meatballs, and sausage drenched in a thick red tomato sauce. Oh my gosh, I didn't think I could eat any more. But it looked and smelled so good. I did my best, and I packed away a plateful. At this point, I'm thinking, man, this is nothing like any Thanksgiving in my 18 years of life, but it sure has been good. But I was seriously worried. I was so afraid that I might offend someone if I just nibbled at my dessert. Once again, the table was cleared. Once again, I savored that full, sleepy feeling, imagining a little coffee and pumpkin pie to wake me back up. Once again, Roz's mom appeared in the doorway, this time carrying the biggest roast turkey I have ever seen on a huge platter. My vision began to go out of focus. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Platter after platter entered the room, bowl after bowl, every imaginable vegetable I have ever heard of, including some I had never heard of. What the hell is an eggplant? At this point, it was everything I could do to pretend I was eating. When dessert actually finally came around, I served myself a piece of pumpkin pie, which I slowly and furtively squished into the plate, making it appear to disappear. How in the world could I have realized that this was simply the opening act of an Italian family's traditional Thanksgiving dinner? I had never seen my future father-in-law and his brother Freddie start arguing about politics and go on and on and on until my future wife's grandmother fainted dead away from feigned distress. I had never, ever seen Uncle Rudy tell his story about meeting Gregory Peck in Manhattan. I had never before been to a Thanksgiving that was so perfectly scripted. never varying from one year to the next by any significant degree. I can only say this now because I got to go to around 30 of these Thanksgiving pageants before Roz's dad passed away and her mom began to succumb to Alzheimer's cruelty. And so it is with a great deal of love and envy that I describe Italians as unencumbered by reality. I would love nothing more than to be able to go back and record any one of those nearly identical Thanksgivings. I miss them so much now. This year, when you sit down with friends and family at the Thanksgiving table, savor every minute as though it was your last chance. And let everyone there know how much you love them. It is one of the very few chances you will ever get. You have it, another edition of Digital Flotsam. I hope you all take my final bit of advice to heart. More than any holiday I know of, this is a time to make sure that all the people you love know that you do. We should probably try and do that every day, but Thanksgiving is a time when we get a good excuse to do it without feeling all sappy and self-conscious. As always, visit digitalflotsam.org to get a peek at the information in the show notes and support the great PodSafe artists that contributed to this show. Thanks to my good friend Big Al, who always says,
and P-Dub holded the microphone.